And let me make this announcement, and I didn't realize it was this fast approaching, but we're having a Bible conference, and that's 2 weeks. November was a long ways off, but November's getting close. The 11th, 12th, and 13th. And Brother Don Fortner will be with us. Brother Rupert Ravenbark will be with us. Brother Carol Poole will be with us from Hendersonville. And I guess we'll meet at 7 o'clock. Is that what? That's why we usually meet at 7 o'clock and have two speakers. And we'll give you some more details next week, maybe. But we're looking forward to that. And I just can't hardly believe it's already that close, but it is. I'm glad you're here today, and always glad for your presence. I appreciate you, and thank the Lord for you. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. This is Paul. I'll read a few verses here, down through verse number 6. And we'll look at verse number 6 this morning. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Now, this word is, what we have is forever. And that's something good to be written about somebody, isn't it? They're servants of Jesus Christ. That states who they are, and that's always going to be stated that they're the servants of Jesus Christ. To all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where peace comes from. He is peace. Scripture says, not as the world giveth, but as He gives. Then He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. As He writes to the church at Philippi, and as he thinks about what God has done, this is one of the things you find in Paul's writings, when he thought about the people, he also thanked God for what was done in their lives. I thank God for saving you, for what He does in your life. I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. Now, I like that this morning, the fellowship of the gospel. That's what we have here, the fellowship of the gospel. Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of God's grace. Now, verse number 6. Paul has a very positive and confident outlook here. And he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it. The life of a Christian is a series of miracles. You think about it. The new nature is kept alive, is preserved by the power of God and only by His power. When you are among all kinds of enemies, dangers, evils in this world, you have an old nature of sin. But Scripture says you've been brought from darkness to light. You've been delivered from bondage to liberty. And that's a good work. It's good for you. It's good for the church. It's good for God. Do you know also it's good for society? Wouldn't it make a difference if everybody was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ in society? They throw it up on the screen this morning. I turned the news on for just a minute or two while I was eating my Cheerios. And it said Christian persecution. And it showed 18 or 19 countries where the Christians are being persecuted. It'd be good for society if there's followers of Christ. But here's a good work. Now, I want you to think this morning in terms of this good work, that it's the best thing that you can receive in life. God's good work is. Now, what could you receive better than that? I don't know of anything you could receive this morning that would be any better than God's good work in your heart, in your life, in your soul. His good work. And we used to have a little slogan, and I don't know, I picked it up when I was young, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. But that's nothing compared to this, is it? All of that. Having a good work. In you. God working in you. And is called His work. Now, God created this world. He spoke it into being. And the Scripture says it's the work of His fingers. It's His handiwork. But this work right here is salvation. It's His work there. And when it comes to salvation, the Scripture speaks out of it as His arm. Do you know that this work is harder than that of creation? Well, creation, He spoke it into being. And this is a new creation, but there's a lot of resistance to it, wasn't there? Man goes the other way, doesn't he? He wants his way. He's gone to his own way. But it's God only that creates a new man, a new person, a new nature. And it's unique. It's of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we see Paul and all of his confidence here and how positive that he was. That not anything is to overcome God. He that begun this good work. There's no difficulty going to stop him. There's nothing going to stop him. And he's not going to desert that of his work. And Scripture says that which he shall, he does. Now, when I read the Bible and I see his shalls, that just brings out a lot of confidence because he's going to do whatever he says he's going to do. And when he purposes something, that's what he's going to do. No doubt about it. So you could bring in this morning and talk about this good work, the wisdom, his power, his immutability, his faithfulness. And we could tie all of this in also, the atonement. Christ died for that of his people. He shed his blood for his people. We can talk about justification, but we'll just throw this out and go on, that we're covered with His righteousness. We can talk about His intercession. I mean, that's part of this good work, isn't it? His intercession. We are one with Christ, and you can just put all of this together, the union and so forth. But it talks about here a good work. Now that's more than just a word or a thought. When it says good work, it means something real, something solid, something abiding. Now to have a good work, you need good material. You need a good workman. And you take a good workman, if he didn't have something good to work with, and Brother Larry's electrician, if he had faulty wire, he couldn't be a good workman, could he? He couldn't do a good job. He could be a good workman, but he has to have the good material to work with. And if he had bad material, it defeats that of the workman, wouldn't it? And you could take that of gold and silver, the precious stones and all that, but if you had a bad workman, he couldn't do anything with it. So it takes that of both. So this morning we have the good work, and we have the skill of a workman who's God, and we have good materials. So the apostle speaks of here of that which is done, is good work in us. It's the work of grace. This grace work is good in its beginnings, it's good in the end, it's good for time, and it's good for eternity. And so it has to be something that passes under the very judgment of God, that it's what he calls good work. It's not something that man calls, but what God calls. And here we see the good work of this text is that he's the workman and not man. It's God. Now, what about the material that he works with? I said it needs to be a good material. Now, is it the corrupt nature of man? Is that what he works with? Is it the old man of sin? Is that the material? Well, that's bad material this morning. God doesn't take that of the old Adam nature and works upon it. That's not what he does. By his Spirit and by his grace, he creates a new heart and a new spirit, doesn't he? A new nature. Because the Bible says in the book of John, that which is flesh, and it remains there. That which is spirit. That which is born of the Spirit. So this is speaking of the new birth, which is after the very image of God, created in righteousness and holiness. And where he works, there's a new man. We're called new creatures in Christ. There's a new heart given. There's a new spirit. And so this material is called a divine creation. The scripture speaks of it as being born of incorruptible seed. And it goes on, the apostle says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. And that his seed remains in him. So there's a new nature, a new creation that God does. And the old nature remains the same. Now, it's not renewed, and the old nature is not, and it's not renovated. Now, this is what you get into with religion in our day and what people does in religion. They're trying to mend up the old. They're trying to get the old to get better. God gives new. It's not the old. He gives you a new nature. And they try to reform out of the old. And again, that's all that remains. Flesh remains flesh. That's all it's ever going to be. I don't care if you live to be 120, flesh is still flesh. And so here's a workman. It's God. And he's begun. And he said, besides me, there's none else. It's him. And there's the power and the skill of the workman. We have the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the All-Wisdom One. And this morning I'm telling you, if it's God's work, it is a good work. This new creation that he wrought, and it comes from a holy and powerful hand, Let's look at some of the details this morning of this good work. It's from God Himself. And it's by God's grace, His sovereign grace, and it's the fruit of that of His children. It's the fruit of what He does for His children. It's the fruit of eternal election when you get down to it. Now, no one has ever begun a good work in their own heart. That's not what we're talking about. If you begin it, it's not good. But God begins it. It's by His grace and by His power. Now, this good work produces some things, and this is how we would look at it and determine some things about it this morning and what this good work produces. One is it produces repentance. Repent and believe, the Scripture says. And Peter preached and talked about repenting, and repentance is to be preached, and repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, and that of repentance, and He gives a repentance. A repentance is a change of mind toward God. Now, isn't that what happens in our conversion? You go from running from God to God, don't you? I mean, you have a change of mind. There's a change of mind about God Himself. And toward Him, there's a change of mind toward sin. There's a sense of our sinful condition that we're lost and undone, and that's the beginning of the work of grace in our hearts. This good work brings about repentance. We repent. We turn. We have a different mindset. Then also, it brings about a confession of sin. David said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." Now, he's the one that we have to do, isn't he? It's against him. Against him. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." And he talks about that as he confesses his sin, he says, "Thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin." He's the forgiver of it. We confess it. Over in 1 John, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to what? Forgive and to cleanse us, the Scripture says in 1 John. We confess our very sins. So, then that's good work. There's confession of sin. In this good work, there's fear and reverence of God. That's the beginning of wisdom, the Scripture says. The reverence Him. See, every one of us is going to have to meet Him one day. You're going to go before Him one day. And there's to be a reverence of Him and who He is. We talked about this morning in Sunday school lesson how that He's supreme. He's a supreme being. And we're going to have to go before Him. We'd have a godly fear of Him, a reverence. Today, there's just so little reverence of God and how He's spoken of. What would make a person, to use His name in vain? Oh, He's to be reverenced because of who He is, holy. This good work means that we pour out our hearts to Him. We seek His face. We call upon Him. We call upon Him for mercy. And that's what the quickening soul does. If you've been quickened by the Lord, you call for His mercy, don't you, upon Him. You want His grace and His mercy. And that quickened soul, there's life about it, and it calls upon the Lord. That's life. If one calls upon the Lord, there's life. He groans. That's a sign of life, isn't it? If he cries to the Lord, that's a sign of life. And so there's a spirit of prayer. I'm satisfied of this, that prayer is just talking to the Lord. Now, you don't have to use great big words and all of this. Prayer is just talking to the Lord, isn't it? That's what it is. And when there's a good word, there's this prayer. Do you call upon Him? Have you called upon Him? This good work, there's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that one of the features of this good work? There's faith, believing, trusting. If you don't have faith, you can't please God, the Scripture says. But with faith. And we are children by faith, the Scripture says. We stand by faith and we walk by faith. And you just keep on. Faith does all this. Faith in Christ. We have faith in that of His person, who He is. We have faith in that of His work upon Calvary's cross, what He done. There's faith in that of His blood that was shed. Faith in that of His righteousness. And without faith, there's no salvation. But God, Scripture says He's not only given unto you to believe, but also to suffer for His sake, isn't He? Given unto you to believe. Now, how many people believe that? It's given unto you. Oh, see Him. Faith. The Bible says He's the author and finisher of our faith. It's wrought in our hearts by the operation of God. Faith is not something that is natural. You realize that faith is putting your eternity upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's doing. It puts everything upon Christ. That's faith. It puts it upon Him. And as we discover who He is and look at His work and that great work, Christ is seen. Now, He's not seen in a bodily sense. I've met a couple of people in my life that talked about they just saw Christ in a bodily sense, but I sort of got away from it as quick as I could. But you see Him. But it's not in a bodily sense, but you see Him. Don't you? You see Him by faith. And as you see Him, you... There's His voice. You hear His voice. Now, is it the ear or the inside you hear His voice? You read the Scriptures. You hear His voice. I read the 17th chapter of the book of John. And boy, it'd be something to be there and hear the Lord pray that. Well, when you read it, you hear Him pray it. Aren't you? Aren't you hearing Him then? You say, well, if I was there, boy, that'd be something. Well, it's recorded for you. And love is found. Grace is found. It's glory. And the Spirit of God, the Bible says, takes the things of Christ and shows them to us. It's known by the heart. And He's looked upon. He's laid hold upon. And we see how suitable that He is to all of our needs. I challenge you today to look at your needs, then look at Christ, and you just see how suitable that He is. He suits you. He suits us. So, there's faith. There's good work. You trust Christ. You look to Christ. There's good work. There's love. Love. You love Christ. Unto you that believe, He is what? Precious, the Scripture says. Is He precious to you this morning? If He is, you're a believer. If He's not precious, you haven't believed yet. And love to Christ. Now, The scripture says we love him because he what? First loved us. You ever notice he's always first? Isn't he? He's always first. You're not first. He's first. And also love of the brethren. Didn't John Ryan say, we know we passed from death to life because we love what? The brethren. And that's the sisters too. When you look at the scriptures, it says brethren, but it's speaking of the sisters too. This whole works. You love the brethren. If there's no love, there's no grace. If there's no love, there's no new birth. If there's no love, there's no knowledge of Christ. Because he is love. God is love. We love the head. We love the members. You love the bridegroom. You love the bride. You love the Lord. You love all that belongs to him. You love him. Out of this good work also comes obedience. Doesn't it produce that? Now, we don't have a perfect obedience. I wish I could stand up here this morning and say that we have a perfect obedience, but that's to be the tenor of the life. We follow Christ. We follow the shepherd. We look to him. And the Bible says, come out from among them, be separated from this world. The Bible says it's an evil world. Now, you might think it's something else, but that's how the Bible calls it, an evil world. It's a polluted world. And here it is, you have a new family. With this good work in you, you have a new family. You have the family of God. You walk with him. You cast your lot with him. There's this fellowship of the gospel that we talked about. You believe the same truths. You have the same Christ. You have the same God and Father. And the Bible says the love of Christ constrains us. We desire to live for his honor and his glory. He's our Savior. Now this good work is began and is carried on and is completed. And again, that's the power of God. What is just left to you and me? Your hands and my hands. But I'm glad the scripture says that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That it's carried on. It's carried on through grace. He carries on his work by the scriptures, reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures. He's carrying on his work this morning by us gathering here. Do you see it? That's part of it, isn't it? He's carrying on his good work, us gathering to hear the preaching of the word. He's carrying it on. The edifying of the saints, the establishing in the truth. He's carrying on his good work. Now, the word of God is to be brought home to us by that of study. It can be private, or a private study, or it can be the ministry. It should be both. And it's carried on. It's good work. This morning you have a kingdom. You're the spiritual kingdom. And it's within you. And the Bible says we enter it with much tribulation. There's trials, there's affliction, there's temptation, there's the assaults of sin, the assaults of Satan, and the corruption of our old nature. But yet, there's the mercy of God that carries on the work that he has begun. The Lord's people. This is how the Bible describes them as poor, afflicted, and suffering. They're like their head. Paul wrote, and he says, I carry about. He talked about this body. Oh, wretched man that I am, this body of sin and death. And we're dust, and we're going to return to dust. We live in a world that hates Christ, hates His people. There's a devil in all of his devices. But in the midst of all of this, God carries on His word. Like I said to start with, it's a series of miracles, isn't it? God says, I'll work, and no man shall hinder me. Says, fear not, don't be afraid. He helps us, He supports us, He delivers us. There's life, there's light, there's strength. And this verse tells us His work is to be finished and completed. And you see how Paul wrote, I'm confident of this. I stand here this morning and I'm confident He's begun a good work in you. He's going to perform it. I have no doubt in this world about it. And if He hadn't begun a good work, my prayer is that He will begin a good work in you. And I know if He begins it, He's going to finish it. You know, the architect of a building, as much, a lot of times, is not seen. There's a lot, you look and you don't, there's a lot of things you don't see about that building. But the end of it is going to be beauty and glory. And that's how His people's going to be. There'll be beauty and glory in the end. They're headed to a perfect state. It is to be finished, and it will be finished. And God always finishes His work. That's certain. I used to laugh about Brother Roger Tilly and I one time was going to make clocks. I had to take it out of wood and put these hands and all on it. And he got the hands and so forth. And that's the last we ever done about it. That's been 35, 40 years ago, but we didn't finish anything. We didn't even get started, hardly. But God, what He starts, He finishes it. Bless His name. It'll be finished. It says here, the day of Jesus Christ. I think that's His coming. He's going to come again. And His work, God's work, is going to shine forth in that day. It says you'll be blameless in that day. And there's going to be this completeness. This old mortality is going to be dropped. And this covering will be removed. But we'll stand in the beauty of grace. Right now, much of God's work is hidden and invisible. But that day is going to reveal it. That's what it's going to do. It's going to reveal it. He's going to come with His saints. And the Bible says their bodies shall be raised. And they're going to be reunited with their souls. They're going to be made perfect. There'll be no stain, no spot of sin. It'll all be that of heavenly, spiritually, immortal. The Bible says we'll reign with Christ forever and ever. See, this is just a little smidge in here. That's all it is. I guess I'm going to use the word smidge, and I guess y'all know what that means. That's just something little. And sometimes we grow up differently in different places. We use different terms, but this is just a little smidge in this life is. That's all it is. But this is eternity. The confidence. Again, let's turn to think about the confidence in closing this morning of the apostles. That is that God is faithful. You know, it's wonderful to study the attributes of God and who He is. And over and over again, He's the faithful one. And the Bible says he's ordered all things and sure. The scripture says none of his children, his sons, his daughters, his elect, they ever perish. Isn't that what John 10th chapter says? I give unto them eternal life, and none shall perish. They're not going to perish. So here's God's faithfulness. And here's his confidence in that he's begun a good work in you. The fellowship of the gospel, the blessings of the gospel, the power of the gospel. United in the gospel. What the gospel does, it brings life and liberty and love and mercy. And it tells us here that God that has begun a good work in you, he will complete it, this work of grace. Because there's a goodness of that of the worker, there's a goodness of that of the material, and it rests upon God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. That's who it rests upon. It rests upon the triune God who's faithful, who is all wisdom, all skillful, and has all power. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. To his praise and to his glory. And it's going to be that way for eternity. Don't you think eternity is going to be to look back and say, he begun a good work. And he performed it. There's all kinds of dangers and evils of sin, that old corrupt nature and all of that. But here he's brought me to glory. He that has begun, oh, this morning, has he begun a good work in you? Maybe even right now, if he's not, he begins a good work in you. Trust Christ. Look to him. Repent of your sins. Believe. You do that, there's a good work begun. And God's going to teach you. Our Father, bless your word. Bless the gospel. Thank you for it. Thank you for these who's gathered here this morning. Lord, if you began a good work in them, we thank you and we praise you. And we ask if there's any here that has not that good work, that even you start it today. You start it today. They look to Christ. If we know if they look to Christ, you've begun a good work. If they believe, we know that there's a good work begun. And Lord, we're stand as the apostle. He said he is confident, positive, and taking your word. We're confident and we're positive that when you began a good work, that you will perform it unto the day of Christ. Scripture says you will give grace and glory. They go together. Where you give grace, there's glory. And where that you give glory, there's grace. Bless these today. May we ponder upon the word. We thank you for the gospel. You've sent it our way. We thank you in thy providence this morning that you've brought us together. We are thankful for the fellowship of the gospel. We have the same Lord. We have the same gospel. We have the same Father, thankful for love we have for each other. We love thee because thou hast first loved us. Thank you. Praise you in Christ's name. Amen.